Today on Real Radio.
Behind the scenes of all the world and its system, that's the number one thing, is the devil himself. He's the Oz behind the scenes. He's pulling the strings and turning the wheels and moving the curtains. He's the Oz. The devil. Look what it says. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Can you believe this? The prince of the power of the air. What does prince mean?
You make me, you break me, you change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 2, where Paul continues his explanation of the new life believers in the Messiah now have. Verses 1 through 3 speak of the conversion true believers have experienced. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called From Death to Life.
The world loves the world. Jesus says the world is in love with itself. It loves the world. The world loves its own. It's amazing. And we're not of the world anymore. Jesus says we're not of the world anymore. He says if we were of the world anymore, the world would love us. The world hates us. And it goes down to that simple thing. The world can't stand us. Because I think this sounds a little simplistic, but when you were maybe, you know, going to the party for the first time in your life and people are standing around and there's always somebody there, there's always somebody that just, oh, come on, have a beer. You know, I'm 9 years old. Oh, come on. Or whatever, you know, come on. And the more that the ringleader can get, the more people he can get in his sin, the more comfortable he feels. And listen, this is a trick. Any young people in here, listen, it's a trick. The more people that this calloused heart can get doing his thing, he feels more justified and he feels a little bit less responsible to God because he's not the only one doing it. Everybody's doing it. That's why he says, come on, do it. Oh, come on, everybody's doing it. Come on. What they are saying is that I'm guilty, man. I feel guilty, but I want to do this, but there's this struggle within me. And though if more of you do it, I won't feel so bad. It's a trick. But the world loves its own. And he's talking about walking around this world system and the world saying, come on, baby, enjoy it. This is great. This is the world, man. And you go outside and you go to other places of the world and you know what those countries want to be like? They want to be just like America. Statue of Liberty? No way. They want MTV. They want minors emancipated so they can tell their parents where to go and they can sue them. They want to do the things Americans can do. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were exporting holiness and righteousness? The Bible says that if a nation has holiness and righteousness in its borders, it will flourish as a country. You want to know why they found gold in America, in California? It changed the course of the world. We're not talking America here. The gold rush of 1849 changed the course of human history. But do you know what the next gold rush was on the heels of that monetary bonanza? It was the gospel going out to all the world on the heels of our wealth. And it was up until 1954, I believe it was, where the United States Congress supported the evangelistic opportunities of the world through legislation. It was a law that a portion of the national budget went to evangelism. 1954, struck down. Got our eyes off God. And this word course, the word course simply means the age or the trends or fads. Isn't that funny? You ought to jot that down. Parents, you're going to really want to jot this down in a minute because it does mean trends and fads, the present as well as the future. The spiritually dead are dominated by the worldview and world social agenda. It is this thing. The earth is our mama. Mother Earth. It's our home. It's our thing. And that belief system, that home base of the world being in the heart, this word here, of course, trends and fads. Isn't that something? Trends and fads. Isn't it funny? You go, you need some shoes. Let's go get you some shoes. Okay. So you get in the car and you point your car towards Target or Ross. What are you doing? I'm going to get you some shoes. It's like, I'm not going to get the shoes there, man. Well, what do you mean? Isn't it funny how our own kids have gotten sucked into the trend fad thing? That's the world. It's the world cosmos. It's the course of this age. And you know what's really fun about this? This scripture implies, we'll see in a moment, that Satan's behind the trends and the fads. Isn't that weird? It's not Madison Avenue. It's not Calvin Klein. Well, you can figure Calvin Klein. It's funny though. You take something that's just not so used or not used, doesn't matter what the brand is, go to some other part of the world, and you say, you'd like to have a pair of shoes? And they go, for me? Are you serious? You brought those for me? They don't go, yeah. No, isn't that amazing? Wherever a society is, what I would say, abusing the blessings of God, decadent, there's this picky thingy, fad and trends, pop culture type stuff. I mentioned MTV a moment ago. I think that's a great thing that Satan did. MTV's brilliant. Yeah, that's a great thing. Most people, you mention MTV in a church and they go, what's wrong with it? You know what? I don't encourage you to do this, but if you're a parent and you're not, and your kid's watching MTV, you know what you ought to do? You got to take a day off from work. You got to watch MTV. Watch MTV for a day. It's brilliant what Satan did. It's brilliant. They don't, good morning, welcome to MTV. Let's bring on all the talk and stuff to get you involved in drugs and rebellion and anarchy, and bring in all the naked people. Come on, bring them in. And the first 5 minutes, that's just totally, are you kidding? Satan's so smart. He'll bring in a really neat song that you like. Oh, I don't see anything wrong with this. I even like that song. Well, just stay tuned. Because with about 3 good songs, a really good one on the 4th one, then something, maybe. And then he'll slip in a real wing-dinger on you. And he'll show a video. He'll show a clip, and let me tell you, it's enough. There's enough pornography on MTV. I mean, it's amazing. It's Satan, I think, warming up. It's excellent what he's done, because he's mixed a lot of good stuff in with some bad stuff. And it goes down a lot easier. The world and the church is swallowing it right down. Listen, what goes in, isn't it funny? Check this out, and if it's not true, I stand corrected, I know it's true. You listen to some songs, and which ones will Satan bring back to your memory 3 days later? Which one will you wake up and go, hey man, it's not Perry Como. It'd be that song that's off. And you go, why am I remembering that song? Satan will use that arsenal. It's okay to him. He's been around a long time. He'll let you suck in 15 fairly gray songs. No problem. It could go either way. They could go either way. And he'll slip in a real good one. And then 3 days later, he'll draw up the good one out of your heart and put it into your head and have you start thinking about it. It's a trick. Does it all the time. Second thing I want you to see. Behind the scenes of all the world and its system, that's the number one thing, is the devil himself. He's the Oz behind the scenes. He's pulling the strings and turning the wheels and moving the curtains. He's the Oz. The devil. Look what it says. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Can you believe this? the prince of the power of the air. What does prince mean? Prince means the first one. The first one. The first prince. Lucifer, Satan. Number one in rank and in authority and in power and in, get it, magistrate. The prince. He was God's first prince, Lucifer. Prince, it says, and power. This word power is the word that means jurisdiction or right or strength over a region. That's Satan's power. He's got strength given to him. He's a prince of the power. He's got domain, rule, and authority over what? Over air. The air. And what is this air? It is the breeze that can be translated wind or atmosphere. He's got power over it. It's his domain. It's his rule. And he knows it. And listen, God knows it. It's his domain. Want to hear something bizarre? You want to jot this down? By the way, remember, Satan never sleeps. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't know everything, and he doesn't. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. He can only be at one place at a time. Aren't we glad? But he's got his little goobers everywhere. And he never sleeps. And he's at work today in the world. Listen, John 12:31. John 12:31 says, Jesus says, now this is the judgment of the world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus Christ called Satan the prince of this world. Jesus said in John 16:11 that the prince is judged. He says the ruler of this world is now judged. In one version, I think it's the old King James, it calls him the prince in John 16:11. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, Satan is called the supreme magistrate. Can you believe that? It is said there that Satan is the God, little g, of this world. And the word there means supreme magistrate. Yeah, it's been given to him, but he is the kingpin over it. Isn't that amazing? And what's my point? The point is Satan's got this little globe and he's hugging it and he's duping every person. Every one of us are born with a handicap. We're born with sin, and his goal is to keep that globe stupid, blind, deaf, dumb, and naked to spiritual things. And he'll keep those people wrapped up. And that's his passion. And he'll fight to the point where Peter says he's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. One thing I want you to realize too is that Satan, I'm going to give you three other things. This is number two, the devil. Number one is the world. These are the things that are accomplices to your death. But I'm going to give you three things under Satan here that, number one, Satan is at work in the life of the believer. We're going to have to go quick. Jot this down. Satan is at work in your life. And I know most of you have caught on to this. But he is the devil, you know. The word diablos, it is the slanderer. And that is fit. It means slander. Revelation 12:10 says that he accuses us before God day and night. Can you believe that? This is what he did now. Day and night. Look at God, did you see what he did now? Day and night. And God just says, day and night. Look what he did now. All of these accusations. Day and night. Revelation 12:10. All day, all night. I've known people like this. Anyway, the next thing. The next thing is that he's the tempter. He'll set you up. Satan is the tempter. He will set you up. He's plotting right now in my life and in your life. He's plotting right now your demise. Are you a Christian? He's plotting your destruction. Can he, what do you mean my destruction? Can I, like, not make it to heaven? No, you'll make it to heaven. Jesus will see to it to that. But he'll ruin your witness. He'll destroy your effectiveness. All of us have that going against us right now. The more you're being used by God, the more he plots and schemes and sets up traps, and the more subtle they are. He's the tempter. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Paul says, I send to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor would have been in vain. Satan can destroy your effectiveness. Next thing that Satan does is that he attacks the life of the church. How's that? Well, by confusing the church. He'll get the church into a confused state. He'll quench the work of the church. And he'll do everything possible to discredit the church. All you got to do is turn your TV on right now to discredit the church. You know how it happens to the media? Listen, you got some guys running around Montana. God gave us this right. We got our Bibles and we're fundamental. We're Christians. Oh, no, don't say that. You know, you want to just pull the plug on TV. And then somebody, you know, somebody does, blows up, you know, some bank and they say, well, you know, God told me to. I believe in the Bible. Oh, no. Satan, he's just going, oh, man, that's it. Satan loves that stuff. Discredit the church. I told you before, it's the girl that does my hair, she's done my hair for a long time and she knows where I'm coming from and that's fine and all that stuff. But man, before I found this girl to cut my hair, you know, you go around places and you sit down in the chair and they go, so what do you do? I'm a pastor. Huh. And all of a sudden you're done. It's really weird. So it depends on the mood I'm in and I'm talking to the person, you know, what's going on? Oh, you know. So what do you do? I'm a family counselor. Or, you know, it's tough. I'm a pastor. They think, oh, he must make $500 million a week. Drive a stretch Mercedes and, you know, it's like weird. It's sad. The world loves to discredit the church. So does Satan. Listen, he does this with all his goodies in one basket, and that basket is to absolutely to divide and prevail over the church of Jesus Christ, which Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. Does Satan believe that? No. He's a liar. Jesus says he's a liar from the very beginning. What happens when a person lies so much, they begin to believe their own propaganda? That's why Jesus says, the gates of hell are not going to prevail. You know what Satan says about that? Oh, yes, they will! You just watch! He believes it. When we read our Bibles and he listens, he doesn't believe we're going to win. He thinks we're going to lose because he's believed his own lie. Jesus said he's a murderer from the very beginning. When did that happen? Garden of Eden. He killed them. He killed Adam and Eve. The day that you sin, you shall surely die. He killed them in one day. They died spiritually in an instant. They were dead. Satan, listen, whatever Jesus does, Satan wants to do the opposite. Whatever Jesus wants, Satan wants the opposite. Whatever Jesus loves, Satan hates. Because Jesus loves you, he hates your guts. And read your Bible. He'll cuddle up to you, give you a smooch. He'll make you think you're the greatest thing in the world, and then he'll stab you right in the back. And you've seen that personified in people's lives. Jesus loves the lost world out there. Satan hates them. And then the scripture says in verse 2 that the Spirit, it's the Spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. The Spirit, the pneuma. The Spirit, this attitude, this work of Satan is throughout the scriptures. And 1 John chapter 2, 18, the scripture tells us that it's the spirit of the Antichrist against Christ in that case. But then the Bible says the Antichrist will come. And it's not going to be so much that he's against Christ. Yes, he is. But anti, meaning instead of. It's a spirit that denies that Jesus Christ has come. And this word works means to be active and efficient. The scripture says right here that the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, this word is an active, hard working to accomplish his dastardly deeds in the world. He's hard at it. And then the third thing regarding this is that Satan is at work in the life of the lost to keep them blind and dumb to the things of God. I quoted it earlier. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4:4 says, "But even if our gospel is veiled," it's not understood, "it is veiled to those who are perishing," that is going to hell, "whose minds the God, Satan, of this age has blinded them, who do not believe." If you do not believe in the gospel tonight, it's because Satan has totally got you. He's got you nailed down. We could go on and on about this. We don't have the time. The point is here, Satan deceives people. He steals the souls of people from the Lord. And he's out to kill you. And the third and final thing that's against you, it is the world, it is the devil. And it says right here, it is the flesh. Verse 3, it says, "Among whom also we all once," thank God, "once, conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." The flesh is against us. That's our own flesh. It's still against us. Listen to this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not see the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators," that's it, are you single and having sex with somebody? "Nor idolaters," are you worshiping something else other than God? "Nor adulterers," that is having sex with a married person. "Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous people, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you," but watch, "you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit." Isn't that awesome? You used to be an adulterer? Aren't you glad? Praise God. You used to be. "Oh, Jack, it's so terrible to have been one of the..." Hey, you know, I'm sorry. Calm down. Join the club. Because if you were not an adulterer, you were probably a fornicator. And if you weren't a fornicator, you were probably an extortioner. And if you weren't an extortioner, you were probably a drunk. And if you weren't a drunk or a drug user, you were probably a reviler. You had a temper. And if you weren't any of those things, you were something else, because all of sin had come short of the glory of God. So what's the deal? This humongous backdrop falls behind us that's black velvet. Now that we're saved, He takes that black background and causes us to shine. And our lives have been redeemed. It's a great thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a presentation called From Death to Life. We'll look at the first three verses of chapter 2. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, one of the most infamous dates in U.S. history, September 11th, or 9/11, to which it is commonly referred, reminds us of one of the planet's and the gospel's greatest threats. Everywhere, it seems, we're reminded never to forget. And to better help us understand the terrorism, carnage, and anti-scriptural views of the religion of Islam, we're once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Despite today's politically correct mentality, the author reminds us about the threat to our nation that became reality in her native land. So, if you missed our offer last time, now's your opportunity to take advantage. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can find out all of our contact information once again by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.